Hello, and welcome to the Missionary Disciple Podcast by Catholic Christian Outreach. The aim of this podcast is to inspire, equip, and challenge you, our listener, to be an active and effective evangelist. I'm your host, Gerhard, a missionary here with CCO. Today's episode, I sit down with Andre and Holly, and we talk about some exciting things that we're working on here at CCO for you, our listeners. Before we get started, if you have any questions about evangelization, please email us at podcast@cco.ca, and we'll answer them in a future episode. All right, let's dive in. Welcome back to another podcast episode. This week, we're doing something a little different. We have Andre coming back again.
Yes, I'm back.
The regular. And this week, we have Holly Leonard joining us. Holly is the head of the Training and Materials Development Department. Mm-hmm. And today's episode, we're going to be doing something a little different. Rather than talking about how to do something, how to be a better evangelist, what we're going to do is we're going to be sharing a bit of vision casting for you. We've got some really cool things that we're working on within the movement, not just for our university students, but a lot of what we're working on is actually aimed at you, our listener, helping you become a better missionary disciple. Mm-hmm. So today, Andre and Holly are going to be romping in the vision. I'll be hoping to hang on. And
let's change that word.
we'll see where we end up.
One of my, I don't know, it's gift finder or something.
Strength finders.
Yeah. One of my gifts, strengths is futuristic, meaning I'm always looking into the future. And it's actually good for somebody to look into the future, kind of where we're going. But often when you're futuristic, there's a gap between the present and the future. And so this discussion is we're going to try to fill that gap.
Cool.
So as we discuss, we talk about this stuff, we're going to be learning, just like our listener will be learning. So
yeah, and I want to, because this is a vision casting episode, for any of you listeners out there who really are caught on fire by what we are talking about or have ideas that you think may help us improve, please email us at podcast@cco.ca. We want to hear from you, and we are not the be-all and end-all for evangelization, and we want you to be a part of this movement, this journey that we're all on together. So please reach out if you have ideas.
Yeah, so I'm going to introduce Holly here. She's skyrocketed up the CCO org chart, and now she's a director. I mean, she's next, it's VP, and then after VP, the president.
So in 2 years, she'll be taking your spot.
But look out, Andre Randy.
Yeah, exactly. So Holly, you're kind of, in this position of really creating something new. And one of the new initiatives we have is a platform. So in a moment, just a little bit of information about what do you mean by a platform and why a platform?
Right. So because CCO, we feel God accomplishes our ministry most effectively one person at a time, we wanted to find a way to scale this and make the wisdom, the nuggets, the expertise, the realizations that we get to have on campus and in proximate relationships, multiply it out, share it out, scale it. And we can't do that without a learning platform, a coaching platform. These are words I'm like working through to try to define a place where a leader in the new evangelization can come, prepare to lead our material or material that they feel God is calling them to lead. On the platform, they will be able to gain a lens. They'll be able to talk to the Lord about what he's showing them in their midst and the people that they're working with. And then they'll be able to also click on videos or other resources that they can learn to grow in mission and in holiness. But on the platform, the whole goal is to set up a one-on-one conversation for success. That's where we do our magic, if you will, is in one-on-one conversations. So I kind of see the platform as a place they come to and get ready for that conversation. They're spoken into, they're seen, they're directed, they're affirmed, and they log off and they click on media that they can use to grow in their mission that week or in holiness that week.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm hearing what you're saying. So basically this platform is a place where a leader goes to get some coaching,
yes,
and then some resources to help them coach. I mean, help them do what they want to do. But I think, and I'm confident this is what the intention is, the people we want to coach are actually the people that are, they're doing the work on the ground. So we're not really trying to coach, you know, big, powerful leaders out there, but we're really wanting to coach the person in their parish that wants to lead some kind of evangelical ministry. Mm-hmm. So it's really teaching them, equipping them to do what they want to do. Is that kind of the main goal of the platform, is empower leaders to do the work of evangelization, actual work of evangelization?
Yes. And this isn't, you know, coming out of just, we got together in a room, we kind of thought of an idea. This comes from our lived experience over the years. So over the years, we've been pursued way outside of the campus like threshold. We've mm-hmm. had parishioners, leaders, vocation directors, diocesan directors. I myself personally have been privileged to kind of work with people who work on curriculums, work on programs in school boards, and that are saying, hey, we see what you're up to. How can we take that blueprint, that approach, that methodology, and mm-hmm. take it into our midst? So what happens? I speak to them once a week for 30 minutes. What happens before and after that call? There's some content they're looking at before we speak, some ways that they're reflecting. We speak, they share with me what they see God doing. And then when we log off, they have some like homework, if you will, some ways of learning and refining how to take our material into
the
world.
So you're not just giving them a book.
Correct.
And saying, read this and you'll know how to do what you have to do. Mm-hmm. You're actually in a phone call. Mm-hmm. Having a conversation. Why would that be important? Why would an actual conversation, I know it seems obvious, but why would, by the way, it is obvious, but I would say it for the most part, it's not happening. But there is a trend now within the church, and we're seeing movements growing in this area of providing coaching for leaders that are doing the work on the ground. But tell me about your experience. Like, you make this phone call. Why is that phone call, that conversation with somebody? Like, I understand they're mm-hmm. doing it with a teacher mm-hmm. in one of the school boards in Canada, that they are leading their peers through the faith studies, mm-hmm. Discovery and Now Source. Mm-hmm. Why is that phone call with that person important?
I might not quote this perfectly, but in our intentional accompaniment material and in our parish material, we quote Evangelii Gaudium, and we say that it is critical to like take off your shoes before the sacred ground of the other, meaning something along those lines. It's calling out of us that actually the greatest transformation for the renewal of the world happens like in the heart of an individual and in for their conversion, their relationship with Jesus, and then becoming aware of their missionary identity. And it is impossible to know what an individual is living, to name it, to claim it, to celebrate it, to set them on their way and commission them, unless you talk to them one person at a time. So what we've seen and kind of our slogan
right
now.
So I just want to interrupt here. So you're saying that, you know, when you're talking to an individual, they're not a carbon copy of everyone else. So everyone's unique. And so if we're going to help them move uniquely in their mission, mm-hmm. we actually have to meet them in their uniqueness. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. Meet them with our principles that we've seen tried, tested, and true kind of over time and our methodology, and adapt it to their situation. Find out where they're at. Meet them where they're at. Desire even more for them than they might desire at that moment. And by like this mystical experience, if I were to say it, like by way of me getting to hear from this leader in Calgary, what he sees God doing in his people, me celebrating that, naming it through these individual stories, he then grows an awareness and he feels entrusted by God with these people's lives, with their souls, with their future missionary life. And I eventually want to work myself out of this story. You know, mm-hmm.
So give me an example. By the way, Garrett, just if you have any questions, feel free to jump in. But you know me, I'm just always jumping in. So give me an example of maybe something in that conversation that you had to work, that you helped him come to realize and you worked through, because he's leading a little small group study of four or five people or however many. Mm-hmm. So tell me, give me an example, or can you think of an example?
Yeah. So, you know, again, like Andre's probably told you this on some of the other podcasts before, but CCO, our aim is always to wrestle through our material with the people that God gives us to the place where they can see Jesus, see what he's offering them in a relationship with him, and choose it. That might take 2 years, it might take 2 weeks, but we don't expect our content to just accomplish that on its own. So a trap that people might fall into and leaders fall into, and in this particular situation, one of my people that I was coaching came and said, well, you know, we're done lesson five of discovery. That's where CCO proclaims Jesus and invites people into that personal relationship. And they were moving kind of on their way. And when we stopped and said, well, wait a minute, how did lesson five go? Talk to me about what God did. And an inclination is kind of say, we're done. And it went great. And these people know the Lord. How do you know that? Can you talk to me a little bit about these individuals and what you see the Lord doing in their life? It became kind of clear to the leader and to me, whoa, we sort of rushed through that. We sort of just graduated lesson five, and away we went to lesson six, and then away we went. We're in week four of Source now. And now that we're here together and we're looking down at these 14 people that the Lord has entrusted to him, we're able to say, what can we do this week with Source Lesson 4 and the content that's kind of there in order to go back to the images and really assume nothing?
So lives? Yeah. In this podcast, we've talked a lot about the importance of that decision. Mm-hmm. You know, really don't assume that people have had a conversion, and we need to help them wrestle with that decision. And then once they make that decision, the Holy Spirit does something extraordinary, changes of their life. We need to celebrate it. But what you're saying is that sometimes maybe we just rush through mm-hmm. discovery, rush through the invitation to place Christ at the center of their lives. And somehow if they went through the process, for example, someone went through Crucio, which is a great movement. They had a great experience and we just move on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. But you're saying we need to stop and help them understand or not assume that actually they made the right decision for Jesus or, and we explain that. So,
yeah. I think that, you know, I don't know another word to use other than I think we should, as like leaders in the new evangelization and in our movement, really be obsessed with the kerygma, really be obsessed with hearing about Jesus, who he is, what he's done, the invitation that's available, and be given a chance over and over again to respond. And in my experience, it's almost humorous, like how much we do assume. Like we assume people are leading, even CCO staff might be even leading like material right now and just assuming, oh, it's awesome. We have awesome material. We've got these awesome people and we can just kind of coast. And there's this tension always within the missionary heart of, well, let's let it coast. And what I think our approach and our methodology protects and again, facilitates this obsession is we will not pass like over this bridge to release you and commission you to mission to this fullness of your baptismal identity until we know for sure that you've heard who Jesus is and you can articulate that. And there's so many ways we can catch that, if you will.
Let's talk a little bit about catching that, because it really does fit with, you know, the overall goal of this podcast is the new innovative idea we have, which ultimately what we want to do is we want to accredit people, and we haven't really got a good term for it yet, accredit people to be able to use our resources, but even more importantly, to be able to know how to intentionally accompany somebody through our resources or any resource they might be using, because we feel we're experts in this area and we want to empower people that would be able to empower other people. So we want to credit those coaches, if you will. So this conversation that we're having right now is part of what we feel our coaches need to be able to navigate with other people. So, you know, you brought up the point about, okay, there's tricks to the trade.
Sure.
So what are some tricks? Well, tricks is not the right word, but I'll give you an example. I had a similar experience with a staff member. And by the way, his leadership now has just exploded because of that experience. But he led a discovery study with five guys. And they're all really good guys. Some of them were practicing, some are really strong in their faith, and others, you know, are just, this is new. And they all went through the discovery study. They loved it. They went through the discovery study and then they're going through the Source. Cam invited me to come and sit down in on his study. And they're in lesson three or four of Source. And, you know, I came in and I just asked the question right off the bat, because I knew this is an important question. I said, you know, they're in source, which is talking about the Holy Spirit. But what I did is I said, tell me what you thought of discovery study, because that's focused in on Jesus, because, you know, what happens in discovery study will have a huge impact on what happens in source. And they all kind of said the same thing. Ah, it wasn't bad. We really like source. And so I thought that was kind of a little bit of a flag, or what would be the word?
Red flag.
Red flag, yeah. And so I asked more questions, because like you said, we got to help them discover. And mm-hmm. for me to be clear on that, on exactly. that situation, like what are we making an assumption? Well, I asked the questions, and there was a number of questions I asked, but it was clear that that they were unclear of why discovery study. So I said, can we go back to the images and the fifth lesson of the discovery study? And so I asked them, which our listeners might not know what that is. Go to our website. And
check the show notes for this podcast. If it's not there, go to this podcast's page on our website. I'll have the images there for you.
So I asked them, okay, tell me which image you're in. And all of them indicated the same thing. They said they God is just part of their life. Hmm. And so, you know, this was an indicator that they hadn't had that conversion of placing Christ at the center of their lives. And the leader, we had a conversation after, and he said, yeah, I just led the discovery study. I never really felt I had to kind of assure that there was an experience there. I just assumed that it did, and then I went to the next one. So he was just leading the study. He wasn't accompanying them through this study. Mm-hmm. And I was only able to discover where the gap was by asking just really simple questions. Tell me what you thought of that. And that just opened up, you know, clarity for me and for them and the leader, definitely. Oh, yeah, we're making assumptions that they understood what they need to understand because they showed up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, isn't that what happens all the time? If they show up, if they're there at Mass, they must get it.
Sure.
Stop and ask a few questions of parishioners and you'll find out they actually didn't get much of what you said and what was going on. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you have any other stories you might.
No, well, my own personal conversion comes from a leader in source leading me through an exact like thing that you led those students through. So my leader would have identified that I didn't realize like the truths that were offered to me in discovery. And then in seeing me linger one lesson and just said to me, you know, I said, you guys all seem to like, she kind of asked like, why are you so quiet? Or why are you, I said, you guys all seem to just really know God. Like he just seems so real to you. It's, I don't get it. And she just said, well, if you want to know if he's real and if he is, he wants to know you. Why don't you go to your res right now and pray and ask him to reveal himself to you? It was super simple. It might seem a bit like not your style. It was this leader's style. And it matched with me, and I went and I prayed, and God revealed himself to me in a very intimate way. I had a personal conversion like in my res room because this leader was so focused on realizing I needed to be given a challenge, like be challenged into making a decision for a personal relationship. Mm-hmm. And she made that happen. So I understand what you're highlighting here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Within this intentional accompaniment and this whole aspect, we've talked a lot about in the examples, CCOs, faith studies and resources. Paint a picture for us of how intentional accompaniment can be used across any methodology of evangelization is not linked or tied explicitly to the faith studies. Mm-hmm. Like how would someone coming to our platform for IA help them with Alpha or with Curcio or with another?
With their family.
Yeah, with their
children,
family. Yeah.
With the neighbors.
So have you guys already discussed the intentional accompaniment hourglass by way of just like where people are at?
Yeah, I had a conversation with Michael and Ian on that.
Yeah, so then you can look at that episode that Gerhard's referring to. He can link it. But it's knowing where someone is at and asking God to show us like where they're at and where we're going with them. So when you look at the hourglass at the bottom, it's like curious, like we're building trust and curiosity. That might be our family members. This intentional accompaniment, this approach that we have, presupposes or projects onto us that like we are being intentional. We are starting conversations with family members or people in our parish, and that we in our heart are saying, Lord, where are they? Because I know where I want them to go. It informs what I can do with them right now if I can know where they are. That heart, that like I heard someone in Philadelphia introduce us, like we were doing workshops recently, and they said to their group, so they had 70 parish leaders and even some from a neighboring diocese who've been trying things, who've been trying many different programs, not necessarily CCO's methodology. And they're sort of tired of some of their approaches. And in some of the situations, they don't see the results that they want to see. But this leader that introduced us said, you will find, you know, she's speaking on our behalf, that through the lens of intentional accompaniment, like thinking about individuals, like people over programs, that this is the solution we need for today in our in what we're doing in our parishes. She then pointed to our methodology and said, this is an excellent approach. Their methodology moves people. Have you guys talked about Proclaim, Equip, Commission? Like, and how
you can talk about
so it. So in our methodology, and I believe the journey of the baptized Catholic is to discover the personal relationship with Jesus and choose him, begin a life-changing, freeing relationship with him, equipped in that, and then sent to be missionary, like commissioned. So our methodology includes that. Like all of Angel and Andres and our movement's faith studies follow discovery is to proclaim, you know, source and growth and trust are to equip, and then commission is to commission. So we have kind of like a nice tidy program to bring about that reality, but you can also take proclaim, equip, commission as an approach over the program that you're using. So if right now you're a leader in a parish and the Spirit is really moving through program X, it's really awesome. You see people are encountering God, you think, and he's moving in these ways. You need to ask yourself in this lens, or I suggest you take this lens and go, okay, Lord, where can I be sure that we are proclaiming you clearly and simply and inviting people to choose you and respond to you? Where in here are we equipping, and where in here are we commissioning? If you can find those three and in that order, you know, pieces to your program, I would think that that would be producing the multiplying missionaries that we need today in the church. It's just that our system, like our faith studies.
So you're saying there's a way that, yeah. Which I would agree. There's a way that, for example, let's just take the proclaiming part, the evangelizing part.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that, okay, a parish does a parish mission, or it puts people through Crucio, or Life in the Spirit seminar, or even discovery study. They put them through these programs, which are good, really important. But you're saying to really make it fruitful, that we have to have an intentional accompaniment model, meaning there has to be concrete conversations, a journeying. Pope Francis says the art of accompaniment.
Yes.
So these people have to be accompanied. We don't just make this grand assumption that if they did a Crucio, then everything's fine, because that is not the case. Crucio has changed many lives of grace, but there are many people that went through Crucio that have wandered off because someone through the RCA or even the discovery study the CCO uses, that have just wandered away because they weren't accompanied through the process. We let them go away. Jesus was incarnation, meaning he was present. So you're saying that at the real work of mission, or the work of evangelization, boils down to good old one person at a time relationship.
Yeah, and again, and it does boil down to good old, like I like how you coined it. It almost seems too simple that we wouldn't choose it. You know, we'd look for another shiny, attractive program because that might be, you know, the solution. And we're not here to say we are the program. We're actually saying we're an approach. We're people over this program. We're challenging those that are leading excellent programs, or even our own staff that lead our material, to be very concerned for the individual people inside of that session. So I heard one of the conversations we were having in Philadelphia, and our presenter was speaking to the parishioners and saying, how do you measure success, you know, in your parish? How do you know that you're winning? How do you know that you're really building multiplying missionaries, or that your Crucio is really introducing people to Jesus? And they're laughing in the room because it's a bit of, well, it's numbers. Oh, well, 80 people came, you know, 120 people came, and that's more than last time. And that's one way of measuring, but it actually doesn't, it's not a true indicator of if people came to see who Jesus is and respond to him. To know if people are just encountering Jesus and if they need to be wrestled with and through their obstacles, you need to be having conversations in order to have conversations. Do you see what I mean? I'm going, you need to be growing people, growing coaches, growing missionaries in the church with a keen awareness that that's what matters most. So we need to make it happen. We need to go into this room where this awesome Curcio happened or this great parish mission and train people to go and have those conversations with the individuals.
So, okay, now we're gonna talk a little bit about the vision that we have, which you'll be kind of leading. And I'm just, we don't know. This is just an idea, you know, a dream. But you're looking at sometime in September that you would like to gather a crowd of people in some city in Canada. We talked a little bit about it, you know, 50 to 100 people, and we want to accredit them, or if it's a certificate at the end, a two-day intense couple days of training so that they can become accredited in their intentional ability to intentionally accompany other people in what they're doing. So it's not really, we're not training people to lead a small group. We're actually, you want to accompany, credit people that can train others that will lead small groups. Is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah. So as we've been sort of asking the Lord, like, how can we scale? How can we support? How can we catalyze these things beyond like our current spheres? It would be like a conference type of setting, like you're talking, like 50 to 100 people that would come, and we would grow in them, you know, prophetic listening, an awareness of what God is saying to me about the situation I'm leading with these frameworks, these CCO frameworks, with Proclaim, Equip, Commission, with wrestling with a decision for Jesus. And it wouldn't end there. It's not like a one-hit wonder and we're going to solve everything this weekend. Through this weekend and through this accreditation, it actually would include journeying remotely with us while they lead a person who's leading a study. So you would have to have a generation that you're leaving with. So for example, a participant, someone that might be attracted to coming here is, you know, I've taken Discovery, I've led Discovery. Now I want to lead leaders who are leading Discovery. We would want to remotely support you after this weekend. We would journey with you. We would have webinars where we're supporting you while you're supporting others, because a lot of this learning is very organic. Really, these truths and these nuggets that we're going to grow in them on this accreditation kind of weekend would be a great starter and a great certification. But a lot is learned by way of, now I've been entrusted with a person who's entrusted with people. So as we journey, let's say, you know, October through May with these people, using our platform, we would be able to, with them, grow their awareness, grow their intentionality, because it's not until they themselves are leading someone who's leading lesson five and then lesson six and it flops that they really learn these,
so these gaps. And again, this is not concrete yet, but I was thinking, wouldn't it be great if, let's just say there's 100 people that we accredited and they will be leading 100 people who will be leading a group or some kind of apostolate. Wouldn't it be awesome as those 100 people, you know, they would be accredited, but if we could commit to accompany them for a year to 2 years, so that at the end of 2 years, not only would they be accredited, but maybe there's accredited A, I mean accredited B, and then at the end of 2 years, like you're accredited A, you know, super accredited. And you could, to me, that would be consistent with the model of accompaniment, meaning it's about people. So they're not just coming to get some skills and then go out.
No.
You know, this isn't a program. This is very much
organic.
Mm-hmm. And it has to be relational. So that, I mean, that's exciting. So who are some people that you would think would come? Like, are you talking like Dawson directors, parish directors of evangelization, CCO alumni, supporter? Like, who would you like to see there? What would be some criteria for them coming? I know you mentioned a few, but let's
I think let's talk those people you just mentioned, I'd love there. I'd love alumni there. I'd love diocesan directors there. I'd love leaders in the workplace, leaders in school boards, like leaders who are out trying to wrestle with like basic evangelization, like wrestling with bringing people to relationship with Jesus, and even maybe some that have tried other programs and they're tired of those and they want to see a different approach. In particular, having experienced discovery and led discovery, like again, we're toying with this. That would be really excellent in my mind. That would be like a denominator to kind of like think about taking a discovery and leading one between now and September, because you're more informed to receive the concepts and the methodology when you've lived it. It would help. It would help their learning.
Yeah. So it sounds like if you've led a CCO faith study, all the better. However, if you haven't, but you have experience doing Alpha or some other sort of evangelistic program in your parish, we won't say no. We're not going to turn you away at the door.
That's right. That's right. Because, and just to speak to that, like Gerhard's point, the platform is to help grow intentionality in a leader in the new evangelization. And we can do that without leaning on a discovery video or a discovery question or even a discovery lesson. It can be much broader than that. And it can help an Alpha leader. How can it? Well, the way that we multiply ourselves in the line of questioning is quite simple and helps grow the same results. So for example, if someone was preparing to lead their first small group, their first table, I'm familiar with all the language of Alpha, but like a table leader I've heard of, right? And they're preparing to for the Monday night. Maybe on the Thursday before they would hop on our platform and I'm getting ready to lead my first week. We have questions there that can grow, you know, Lord, where are my people at? How have I, like, has this one answered my email yet? Oh, this one, I should really call them. What do I see that you're doing in their life? What is growing the awareness through them praying to the Lord about their people happens before the study for discovery lesson one or the first week of Alpha. It can happen.
You're saying that, I'm just trying to be funny here, but you're saying that if you, by the way, it's hard for us to speak in behalf of Alpha, but we know how effective Alpha is out there. But if you're a table person, you're not supposed to say anything and you're supposed to just help it grow. It's still important to know where your people are. Why would that be important?
As you talk to the Lord about where your people are at, you grow a heart for them. You grow a love for them. You grow authenticity in the way you deliver any truth that you speak, any messaging, any affirmations, because you are receiving, like you're acting on behalf of the Lord in their life as a missionary in that midst. And there's a big difference between being a facilitator of like a small group or a paper and a set of questions and being someone that you feel God is actually entrusting with me these people this week and he has something to say to them. And I want to be there to celebrate those things, name those things, notice those things because I know they don't yet notice and see, and I want to be that agent in their life.
It's beautiful because if you think about it, if a person, if you know one of the persons in your at your table, that obviously what they're saying and how they're responding is that there is fear in them, fear of, you know, they're at a place where they just lack trust, okay? Mm-hmm. And you've had time to talk about this and to understand and reflect. And well, now, you know, when that person does say something, the way you respond, because you understand where they're at and, you know, you've kind of talked and prayed about them, you're able to respond, you know, even with greater empathy, you know, say, really, tell me more about that. You know, you're able to feel for them more. And when you're aware of where they're at, they will see that and they will be able to trust you more because they recognize even in your posture and the way you speak to them or the way you listen to them or the questions you ask that they feel like, oh, they're caring about me. Mm-hmm. They're talking to me. They're meeting me where I'm at. I can trust this person. So that's what when we're talking, you know, like intentional accompaniment, that's really at the heart of it. We're meeting people where they're at. And by the way, yeah, there's a book I wrote, The Five Tenets. And in one of the tenets is one person at a time. And one of the things I write in that book is that everyone in principle thinks that it's people over program. It's just the right Christian disposition to have. Of course, faith should be personal. You should be meeting people and be in relationship. But the reality is that people don't, because two things. One, they don't know how to navigate those conversations. And two, it will cost us. Mm-hmm. Meaning we're going to, I remember referring, you know, using you as an example, Holly, how you, aware of one of the girls in your study when you're working on campus, that they were on the other side of town and they needed to talk to you. So you drove, I don't know what time in the morning, to go to the other side of town to have that conversation with them. And, you know, that's intentional accompaniment, meaning you're willing to go where they're at physically, you know. Well, that costs.
And that's that. And it does. People like over programs cost, like to you have to choose a person. And, you know, that reaction that we do see in people where they're closed off or they're pulling away, even in our family or in discussions or maybe in the programs that we're leading, it sometimes stops there, unfortunately, because the leader and the facilitator thinks, oh, well, they're not open or they're not interested or they're not kind of fitting in with where I'm going here. But the reality is, you know, that person is being impacted, is being challenged and is afraid. And out of love for them, we don't be mad at them that they're pulling away and that they're closed and then kind of cut them out and kind of move away. We actually need to go back to the Lord and ask him, what can we do? Like, maybe there's just something else going on and I can linger, which costs. Like, you know, I was told my husband I'd be home in a half an hour, but I'm going to linger here. Or it costs, but it's always worth it. It's always mm-hmm. worth it. That's what's necessary. You know, and it doesn't take 3 hours, but it does take those extra minutes of them feeling like you saw mm-hmm. that there was a block for them. So in growing that awareness in like the future multiplying missionaries, like of the world, what can stop us? Like, you know, what can stop us? Because this is what's necessary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love this conversation, these podcasts. I don't know about our listener, but I absolutely love them. And why I enjoy them so much is because I'm always learning. You know, it becomes more clear to me as we discuss it, because, and that clarity gives me greater conviction. You know, I'm more on fire for the mission now than I was 4 months ago when we started this, because I'm seeing it actually make sense. But what I'm really, really excited about is actually this idea of accrediting leaders who be able to lead others. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think, and I believe your department will have the experience and the expertise to actually deliver on this one. And so our listener, I want you to be praying about it and thinking through it and
stay tuned,
you know, stay tuned because it's something that as a movement, we feel that the Holy Spirit is inviting us to embrace. And, you know, now, Holly, you're in that position and you are really wanting to seize it and, you know, actualize it. And, you know, I'm confident, I used September as an example, but I'm pretty confident that, you know, in September that we'll be moving forward on this. Mm-hmm. But what's really exciting is that we have two opportunities in dioceses in mm-hmm. North America that have invited us to come and speak to the diocese as a whole. And the diocese has asked all those participants that will come, either the priests or leaders or whoever it might be. And one of the dioceses, they're expecting about 1,000 people to show up. And they're asking each and every one of them to lead some kind of apostolate, some kind of evangelical move of evangelization, you know, this fall. And they've asked us to be one of the presenting opportunities. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, I might be a little bit biased on this one. I think our methodology and our resources are very one of the most effective tools of evangelization that will actually bear the fruit of conversion and making missionary disciples. It won't just talk about it, but it'll actually, it's set up to do the work of building up leaders. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really excited about it. Are you excited, Holly?
I'm very excited about it, yeah. Yes.
Are you committed to seeing it happen?
I'm committed to seeing it happen.
Thanks for joining us today for a conversation. If you have any questions, comments, queries, quandaries, or conundrums, or would like to know more about this platform that we're talking about, please give us an email at podcast@cco.ca. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rate and review on iTunes, as this will help us to reach new audiences. Once again, I'm your host, Gerhard, and you're listening to the Missionary Disciple Podcast by Catholic Christian Outreach. Until next time, God bless.